Staying with China now, we also wanted to take a look at something you may have missed in China's very opaque political scene, the jailing of Uyghur leader Ilham Tohti. He's an intellectual leader of the Muslim Uyghur community, which is centered in Xinjiang province. Some Uyghurs have demanded their own nation, while China has called such talk the crime of separatism. Amnesty International has called Tohti's sentence deplorable. Western observers say the jailing of Tohti has cut off one of the only channels for outsiders to monitor the situation in Xinjiang province, closely guarded and cut off by authorities in Beijing. Andrew Jacobs is a reporter in the Beijing Bureau of the New York Times.
Ilham Tohti is perhaps the only ethnic Uyghur in China who was available to speak to the foreign media, who could speak out about the problems facing the Uyghur people in China. He was an economics professor at a very prominent university in Beijing, and he was widely considered as a moderate voice on issues relating to Xinjiang. And what he was really asking for repeatedly was just that China live up to its promises and provide Uyghurs with the autonomy that is in the Constitution.
Why did he think he was selected for this role in the sense that he was allowed to speak to the media and was something of a spokesman? And I presume he didn't have any formal arrangement with the Chinese government.
To be honest, he sort of was the only man left standing. There really are no Uyghurs in China who will talk to you openly and honestly about what's going on there. Ilham Tohti spoke fluent Mandarin, and he was somewhat insulated by his job at Minzu University in Beijing. And I think it sort of fell on him, and he was somewhat reluctant. He realized he was bringing great difficulty to his family, and he realized that one day he probably would be silenced, but he really felt like it was kind of his responsibility to speak up for China's 10 million Uyghurs who really don't have a voice in China.
Is demanding autonomy, which he is on the record doing, is that tantamount to calling for China to actually be split up?
Actually, no. Xinjiang's formally called the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, and like other autonomous regions in China, is supposed to have a high degree of autonomy. But in fact, Uyghurs have very little control over their destiny. The leading political figures in Xinjiang are Han Chinese. The Communist Party chief is always a Han Chinese person, and they kind of run the show.
So does this signal some sort of Chinese initiative regarding the Uyghurs in terms of a crackdown, that sort of thing? Or is there something that Ilham Tohti did to cross a line?
Well, he crossed a line in that China does not tolerate any criticism of its ethnic minority policies. It's just not acceptable. It's considered splitism. By openly questioning the policies, the Communist Party believes you are fanning ethnic hatred. So in that sense, he was crossing a line, and he'd been crossing a line for well over 15 years. So I think he knew what he was doing, but at the same time, in some senses, he was legally allowed to say what he was saying. But the court felt differently.
This was a two-day trial, and you've referred to the term that came up that constitutes this crime, splitism, separatism, I guess we're calling it in the West. But splitism, is there a sense within China that this is some sort of threatening movement? I mean, we've talked to people who say that within China, or at least the Han Chinese community, Uyghurs are not regarded as heroes in any sense or freedom fighters. They're regarded as something of the unwashed minority. Give me a sense of what this movement means, splitism.
Well, I mean, the fact is there really is very little of a movement. There's sort of a kind of slow boilers insurgency right now in Xinjiang. In fact, Uyghurs have been resisting Chinese rule since really 1949, when the communist troops shortly thereafter marched in and sort of reestablished order. The problem is that the Chinese government views any kind of splitist activity or any kind of demands for autonomy or just an end to discrimination and repression, as these days they're kind of lumping them with Islamic extremism. And they right now will blame any kind of voicing of these aspirations as Islamic extremism, when in fact a lot of people who are involved in calling for greater rights are really not involved in religious activities at all.
Andrew Jacobs is a reporter in the Beijing Bureau of the New York Times. He spoke with us from Beijing. Thanks so much, Andrew.
Sure. Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.